The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Last September, we did a survey on all three campuses, and we asked four or five questions. Then we took all the answers, and we put them all together. We found the top answers, and then we developed about a 4 or 5 week series based on the things that you were asking for. I mean, like, one of the questions was quite literally, if you could hear one sermon on any topic, what would it be? And so we took all the top answers, and we put them together, and we developed this series. And I teased about this last week, but this is the one time of the year that if you don't like what I'm talking about, it's totally your fault. All right? And so all the rest of the year, you get to blame me. This time, I get to blame you. All right? So we're in this series, but we're also, this time of the year, we're rehearsing a theme verse. So almost every week of the year, we'll go back to this verse as kind of an anchor for us. And our anchor verse this year is Hosea 6, verse 3. And I'm going to teach you how to say it, okay? Because when I taught this verse the first week, I made sure to show you that the first word is important. The first word is oh, but you don't say it like that. You don't say oh, you say oh, like oh, I'm hungry. Okay, it's kind of, think of it that way. And I'm sorry, a lot of us are fasting, so that might be appropriate right now. Like, oh, that I might know the Lord. Let us press to know him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of the dawn. So here's what we're going to do is I want you to help me this morning and say this verse because I don't want to be the only one saying it. This is our theme verse this year. So I'm going to have you say it out loud, all right? And you're already kind of rambunctious this morning, I can tell. So you're going to do this good. But you're going to start out with the O is really important, okay? Don't go lazy on me, okay? It's oh, that I might know the Lord. You got it? All right, so let's say this verse together on the count of three, even up in Cuesta. 1, 2, 3. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of the dawn. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but we are now 22 days into 2017. Isn't it already flying by, right? I mean, 22 days. A lot has already happened in this year. Like, a lot of us started out the year with some goals, some, what, call them what you want, New Year's resolutions or goals or things I want to do or things I wish I could change. A lot of us started the year out with those things, but according to statistics, more of us have already failed at those goals than have actually succeeded, right? Like if your goal was to work out and get healthy, and you started at the gym the first week of January, the gyms were jam-packed with people, and already they're already starting to thin out. Am I right, Pastor Clyde? Pastor Clyde's been hitting it hard, all right? And they're already thinning out. In fact, I read two statistics this week I thought were interesting, kind of proves this point. It said one was that by September, only 5% of people that started in the gym, only 5% will still be there come September, okay? In fact, gyms actually build their business model around this idea, that 67% of paying members will never use their membership. Like, what a model, right? I was actually thinking, I wish that I could find 67% of people to just pay Harvest and not even use our services. Like, that would be a pretty, no, I'm totally teasing. I think the church is the other way. I think, I don't know. I'm not teaching on money today, but there you go. But here's what we're saying, right, in this verse, is we're 22 days in and we are still pressing to know the Lord. Am I right? All right, we are still pressing. And the thing I just can't get away from is this idea, is there is power in our collective press. You press, and I press, and they press, and the kids are pressing, or all pressing to know the Lord more. And we're doing this in a variety of ways. Like, for example, so a lot of you have joined my family in a 21-day fast, and we're now, like, just over the halfway point. In fact, I don't know how you feel, but, like, our family's kind of at the point where, like, this is not fun any longer, right? Like, this is hard. Like, I still want that stuff that I'm giving up. And it's just, it started out pretty cool. Like, I'm going to get to know the Lord. I'm going to press. And now I'm just kind of like, I'm going to press, right? Anyone feel me on that? Right? Like, it's been good. I ain't lying. It's been good, but it's hard. Remember what we said? We're disconnecting from the world so that we can connect more with God. And the promise of this verse is that he will respond as surely as the sun rises over the Sandias, right? That's the New Mexico version, right? And so we're pressing, we're fasting. You've heard these announcements this morning. We've asked you to join us on the last Tuesday of the month as we pray together. We do that every month, but this month it's just got a little more oomph behind it because we're pressing to know the Lord. We're doing this through New Mexico Praise. We're joining hundreds of others across our state to press together. So now it's not just Harvest pressing, but we're joining with all these churches all across, and we're all pressing, we're praying, we're asking God to move, to respond, you know, to help our cities, our churches, our state. We're pressing together. So we're doing this in a whole lot of ways, right? But I want to help you with something this Sunday, and I'm glad you're in a good mood today, because I'm going to need your help for something this morning, all right? So here's what I want you to do. I need everyone to stand back to your feet, all right? We're going to get some exercise in this morning, all right? We're going to stand to our feet. And I'm not going to tell you the end result quite yet, because if we do this right, something really cool is going to happen, all right? Now, the pressure's on you, because if you do it wrong, then it doesn't work, okay? So you got to do it right, okay? So here's what we're going to do, all right? So does anyone know what it means to dab? Does anyone, you know? Oh, our youth know what the dab means. So the dab, I think we've got instructions up here. So I'm just going to have this section, not the balcony, just this section. You're all going to dab up that direction, okay? Your right, my left, okay? And I need you to like get in sync, okay? So, and you have to do it at a 45 degree angle or this will not work. So you're just gonna all get in sync and you're gonna start dabbing, not 44 degrees, not 46, 45 degrees. Follow Pastor Gerald. Y'all are failing already. Help me, okay? I need this whole section. You all dab, follow Pastor Gerald. Come on, follow me, because you can't see. Gerald, will you come up here? Gerald, you come up here. Jose, you come up here. Y'all be the dab leaders for this section. Y'all keep going. Start doing it. And this section, you're going to dab the other direction, okay? So you're going to dab this direction. And I really, come on, Russ, why don't you be the leader? All right, so you're gonna stand up here. Keep doing it, all right? Keep doing it. And some of you are not at the right angle. Make sure you're at the right angle. Now, everyone in the balcony, I need you to put your hands up in the air like this. Kind of make a big X. Okay, so spread your feet. Big X like this. All right? All right, just and keep it like as high as you can. And then give me like magic fingers. You're going to like spirit fingers, twinkle fingers, something like that. And everyone in the middle, are you having fun yet? Like watching all this? This is nuts, right? Okay, so everyone in the middle, two sections, I need you just to kind of sway, but you got to be in sync, okay? So just follow me, all right? So not too fast, not too slow. Y'all keep dabbing or this isn't going to work. Russ, come on, are they doing it? All right, y'all, say, so now you should hear something about now if we're doing it right. We should hear, does anyone hear anything? I don't know, Pastor Gerald. It's not working. It's not working. It's not. Does anyone hear the voice of the Lord yet? Okay, it's probably because the spirit fingers aren't going wildly enough, I think. Anyone? Anyone? All right, I'm just being ridiculous. Go ahead and have a seat. Well, wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
Wasn't that fun? All right, I did all of that ridiculousness to prove a point, all right? Is that so many people are asking the question that we're asking today, and it's this: how do I hear the voice of God and know the plans that he has for my life? And what we really mean when we ask that is, hey, what's the formula, right? How do I stand, right? Like, wouldn't it be nice if it was literally as simple as, you know, spread your feet, shoulder width apart, hands in the air, twinkle fingers, and the Lord just downloads to your brain. Like, wouldn't that actually, that'd be kind of cool, right? I mean, we'd feel ridiculous in the moment, but that's kind of the heart behind this question is like, you know, what's the formula? How do I hear the voice of God? And there's a story, we're not going to go there today, there's a story in the Old Testament about Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and he comes, and when he comes, he challenges, like, you know, whose God is going to respond. And what you see was kind of similar to what I just saw from the stage this morning. You saw the prophets screaming out to God, you saw them cutting themselves, you saw them dancing around, you saw them, like, doing all these formulaic things, hoping that their God would answer, right? That, hey, how do I hear the voice of God? And I just don't think it has to be that difficult. Now, the second part, this is kind of a two-part question, is how do I know the plans God has for my life? Well, there's a very familiar verse in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, that says this, "For I know the plans I have for you," says who? The Lord, right? So he's speaking. "I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. "They are plans for good and not disaster. They are plans to give you a future and a hope." And one of the reasons I'm going to this verse is this is such a familiar verse because someone working for Hallmark decided this was a great verse to put on cards and plaques and paintings. And they're like, you've seen this verse in hallways of churches and in your, maybe there's one in your home. And here's why I'm bringing this up, is for most of us, it's not difficult to believe that God has really big, amazing plans for us. Like, we know that there's going to be tough times. We know there's going to be sickness and pain and death and tragedy and different things along the way. But we generally, as a people, we tend to believe that along the way and along the bumps, that the trajectory of our lives is kind of like a dab, right? That the trajectory is good. That God has good plans for us. That he has a hope and a future for us. The disconnect often is not in believing that God has great plans for us, but how do I hear those plans? How do I hear the voice of God? And see, if you think about it, in our day and age, communication is probably more accessible today than at any other time in history. Like, help me with something. If you have a phone with you right now, just hold it up in the air. If you have it kind of nearby, watch this. Just look around. Look around. Don't tell me that communication is not highly accessible. Like, almost everyone, you can put them down, almost everyone in this room has a phone with them right now. Like, I don't know if you remember these phones or not, but I'm old enough to remember my dad's first quote-unquote cell phone, okay? The thing looked like a brick. Anyone remember those? I mean, it literally, like, it was the size and weight of a brick, right? And it had a cord, and like ours, we you charge for a period and you take it with you. This one, if it wasn't plugged into the car, it didn't work, right? I mean, it was a brick. It didn't do any of the cool stuff ours did. It didn't text. You can't get an email. It was literally just a phone, right? And now, you just proved it. Communication's accessible. We carry these mini computers around with us all the time. But we don't stop there. Some of us have other devices. Like two years ago, someone gave me an iWatch, and it's a cool device. And what's interesting is, like, I can be in a meeting or somewhere, and my wrist will buzz, right? And I know that someone's trying to communicate with me, right? The other day, I was out for a run, and my wrist buzzed, and I looked at it, and it was Lisa. She was calling me, and I answered it from my wrist, right? And I'm like, ding, hello. Hello. You know, she goes, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm running." She's like, "Why'd you answer the phone?" I said, "Because you called," right? Like, I thought that's what we do, right? It's accessible, right? So we call anytime. And here's the other thing is instant, right? Have you ever been in a meeting where maybe a group text or like an Amber Alert was issued, right? And all of a sudden it's the collective bing bong, the whole room, right? And everyone's looking at their phones like right away, right? It's like you see screens lighting up. And I don't know if you do this, but like at one point I had an iWatch, an iPhone, an iPad, and an Apple computer, and they were all synced together. And so the same call was like like all four, and screens are lighting up and stuff's happening, right? Here's what I'm saying. We get communication in today's day and age, right? It's easy, it's acceptable, it's quick. So why is it so hard to hear the voice of God? You see, what we want, again, is we want this formula. What we really wish is like, God, let me just give you my phone number. And when you want to tell me something, just text me, right? Just shoot me an email. Just leave me a voicemail, and then I'll know that it's you. I'll program your number into my phone, right? 777-7777, right? And God could just call you and communicate to you. That's really what we want, is a formula. I'm hoping to help you today because it's really not a formula, but it's also not hard. And that's what I'm going to help you with today. So here's what I want to do. I want to ask you to join me. We do this most weeks, but on a Sunday when we're actually talking about how do I hear the voice of God, this is probably more important than any other week. I want to ask you to position your heart to hear from God this morning. I mean, doesn't that make sense? We're trying to figure out how to hear from God. So let's position ourselves to hear from God. And it's not about a posture. It's not about a way to stand or the way you put your tongue or, you know, balance. Or it's not a yoga pose. It's about our hearts. It's about positioning our hearts. It's about opening ourselves and saying, it's really this. God, I'm listening for your voice this morning. And if you'll speak to me, I'm paying attention. And so here's how, what I'm going to do is I just ask you, it takes about 15 seconds to just open your heart this morning to what God would say to us. And what's going to be fun is that he's going to speak to every single person that makes themselves available. That's what I love about God, is he can speak to us uniquely the way that you communicate, the what you need to hear this morning. So I'm going to ask you to join me in just a really quick prayer. Let's just position our hearts. Let's do that right now. Father, we just position our hearts to hear from you. Lord, we open our hearts. We open our spiritual ears to hear your voice this morning. Lord, I thank you, God, that you're communicating today. And so now we are listening. Will you speak to us today? In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. The basis of a starting point for us in this is that God is speaking. See, there's a supposition in the question of how do I hear the voice of God? The supposition is that means that God is actually speaking. And I just believe that God is speaking far more than most of us are probably listening. You know, there's a joke that we have two ears and one mouth for a reason, right? We should listen twice as much as we talk, right? I'll ask it this way. Parents, you might understand it this way. Do your children ever have selective hearing? Any of them? I like this little Simpson cartoon. Marge says, you're not listening. You're only hearing what you want to hear. And Homer says, thanks. I'd love to have an omelet right about now. Right? That ever happened to you? Wives? Wives, do your husbands ever have selective hearing? Any of them? It's okay to admit it. You're in a safe place right now. The other day, Lisa came in. I was in the middle. I was sitting on the couch. I don't know what I was doing. I was on my phone looking at something. You know, I was busy. I was really intensely busy, you know, playing a game or something. And she walked in and she started to talk to me. And I heard her, okay? I heard her. In other words, I was aware that there were words being formed in my vicinity, you know, in the atmosphere of our living room. There was a noise, right? There was something happening. And Lisa goes, are you listening to me? And I said, yes, right? And men, sometimes I say, yes. And she goes, then what did I say? And I looked up, I said, I have no idea. She goes, then you weren't listening. I said, no, I heard you. I heard you. I just wasn't listening, right? And what my wife, that was the point. I think she was trying to get a point across or something. Like, you should look at me when I talk. You should, you know, I don't know. I missed that. But you see, the point is this, is that it's possible for us to hear, meaning to be aware of the noise around us, but not actually listen to what's being said. And I just wonder if that's maybe what happens sometimes when it comes to our relationship with God. See, I don't think the problem is him speaking. I think the problem is us listening. In fact, if you go through the scriptures, you find that God is a very gifted and creative communicator. Like just think about some of the stories in the Bible. Like God communicated to some of his people through angels, right? Angels showed up to the shepherds, right? We just got done with that season, right? And they angels showed up to Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth. And, you know, I'll say this, I, to my knowledge, have never had an angel visit me, right? I've never had that form of communication. I've never seen that. But we read in the Bible, and we see that was a one of the ways that God communicated to his people. We see the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Moses is walking through the desert. He looks over. There's a bush on fire, but it's kind of weird because the bush isn't burning down. It's not going away. The flames aren't dying down. It's just staying on fire. And so Moses approaches the bush, and out of the bush, God speaks to Moses. God's a gifted and creative communicator. In Numbers chapter 22, we see a guy named Balaam who God chooses to speak to Balaam through a donkey. Do you remember that story? Like, on one hand, I'm kind of like, that is cool. And on the other, I'm like, that would scare me out of my mind, right? Like, imagine, like, whatever your pet is, right? Your dog, your cat, your gerbil, you know, your fish, whatever. Like, imagine you're, like, cleaning the house, you know, and your pet walks up to you. Thus says the Lord, right? Like, we would be checking you into an insane asylum. Am I right? But we read this story in Numbers, and God chose to very creatively communicate with his people, right? We see in where his people are traveling across the desert, right? And during the day, there's a cloud that they're following. And at night, there's a cloud of fire. God's communicating through that. He's showing them where to go. Here's the path. This is what I want you to do. Follow me. I'm here, right? He's communicating through the cloud. In Judges 6, we see a guy named Gideon who decides, he's like, I got to figure out what's going on. So this is where we get the idea of putting a fleece before the Lord, because he literally took a sheep's fleece and he put it before the Lord. And he said, I want you to make the fleece wet, but everything else around it dry. If you want to speak to me, God did it. And then he's like, this is total human nature, right? He's like, well, I don't know if that's you, God. So let's reverse it, right? So this time make it dry and everything else wet. And God's like, okay, snaps his fingers, boom, it's done, right? So he communicates, which, just by the way, kind of side note freebie for you. On the scale of communication with God, that is like the lowest level of communication. And it's not a way I would suggest to you. Like, when you're trying to figure out, you know, should we do this or should we do that? You may be tempted to put a fleece before the Lord. And I would just warn you, that's a dangerous way. You're kind of right on that line of manipulating God, okay? And I would caution you against using that method of communication. But I'm showing you this morning that God is a gifted and creative communicator. We see in Daniel chapter 5 a pretty cool story where the king is there and he's got an audience, and all of a sudden a giant finger appears and begins to write a message on the wall to communicate to his people. Like, can you imagine if that happened this morning? Can you imagine, like, I'm preaching and behind me on the wall, a giant finger, just like all of you saw it, and it just starts writing this message, right? One of two things would happen. We'd either all leave scared or our church would double next week, right? Like, so something would happen. But I just love going through the Word and seeing how God communicates to his people. We see where he communicates through dreams. We see how he communicates through visions. We see in Acts chapter 9, Saul is walking down the road and God blinds him with this light, right? And changes his name and says, Saul, you're going to be Paul. I'm going to use you. You're not going to persecute the church anymore. Now you're going to build the church. And he redirects his life. And some of you are like, exactly, that's what I want. I want it to be that clear. I'm like, no, you don't want to be blinded. I promise you, right? Like that, right? And then we see, one more story. I'll end with this one. Matthew chapter 3, we see where Jesus is being baptized. And while he's being baptized, the heavens open and a dove comes down and a voice from heaven comes. And see, I'm kind of going to that one because at the end of the day, a lot of people are like, I wish I could audibly hear the voice of God. I wish he'd call me, you know. I wish I would just be laying in bed and just like, son, this is the Lord, right? What if he just spoke to us that way? And I'll just tell you this in case you're wondering. I've never audibly heard the voice of God. I know people who have, and I don't think they're crazy. I truly believe I just showed you. I showed you a dozen ways that God communicates. Can God communicate to you audibly? Absolutely. But does he do it that way every time? No, right? So here's what I'm telling you. You can hear the voice of God without hearing the voice of God. Are you following me? It doesn't have to be this audible voice. God is a gifted and creative communicator. Lisa and I were talking this week about how over the years God's spoken, is that a word? Spoken to us. I'm sorry. And there's been a couple of instances that really stand out to us. And I asked her, I said, hey, would you join me Sunday and just tell this one or two stories about how God's creatively spoken to us? And so I'm gonna have Lisa join me this morning and just tell you one of our stories, because it's just interesting how God speaks to us. He's so creative. So Lisa, will you tell this story or two or seven?
So Jason asked me to come up and specifically share one story. And just a few minutes ago, I was like, can I tell two? He's like, sure. I have the mic, so I'm going to tell two. I want to share a little bit about my background on hearing the voice of God. So I was raised in a Christian home. My parents are pastors. I was probably at church more, if not, more hours than I was at home. I was there all the time. My mom reminded me just a few weeks ago that I read the Bible through cover to cover the first time when I was 11 years old. I always had this deep hunger and desire for the things of God in my life, but hearing the voice of God eluded me. It was probably the biggest mystery of my life up through childhood and my teenage years, and it was so frustrating. And for whatever reason, in my mind, I thought you had to pray 50 hours a week, and you had to fast for 40 days and be this super spiritual person to hear the voice of God. And what I didn't realize is that throughout my whole life, he had been speaking to me. I just didn't recognize it. And there was this pivotal time in my life where I remember everything kind of changing for me. I was 17, and I don't make decisions quickly. I'm not impulsive. Like, I weigh everything out. So if I make this decision, here's the consequences for me and others, and just very much so like Jason. Just kidding. Just a little sarcasm there. We balance each other out. But, to a fault where, I start worrying and there's a little fear and I can make a mistake and it might not be perfect. And I found myself in that place when I was trying to decide what college to go to. And I knew this decision could change who I married, where I lived, my job. Like, this was huge. And I remember just crying out to God for months and praying, God, I need your direction. I need your wisdom. Where do I go to school? What do I do? And on one particular Sunday night, I'm at the altar just in anguish over this decision. Like, a 17-year-old should not be making this decision. This is too big for me. I just want to follow your will, God. And my mom came up to the altar and she's like, Lisa, what is going on? You're so upset. And I told her, and she said this this verse that I'm sure you've all heard. She said, Lisa, do you know that scripture that says God will give you the desires of your heart? I said, yeah, Mom, of course I know that verse, And she said, it doesn't mean you can drive an awesome car and live in the biggest house and have the most money. But if you read a little before it, it's Psalm 37:4. It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will lead you. And she said, Lisa, is the desire of your heart to be in God's will and to do what he wants you to do? And I said, yeah, more than anything. And she looked at me and she said, he's not going to let you mess up. And at that moment, something just hit me. And I stopped looking at the voice of God as being set apart for those who are super spiritual and those who are very, very close to God, the big writing on the wall and the audible voice. And instead, I recognized that he had been speaking to me all along through this peace in my heart, through the doors that had been opened, through the people that he had put in my life, through the words of encouragement from others, that he had been talking to me all along. So if you're in that situation and you're just just like, I can't hear his voice. You know, I am never able to really just grab it. I want to let you know that this verse says God will give you the desires of your heart. And if that is your desire, then he will lead you and he's not going to let you mess up. But that's not the story Jason asked me to share. So part two, that's part one. And that was just a little bonus. Okay, part two is, how many of you have ever walked through the valley? You've walked through the desert. You've been in this really, really barren place, a place of brokenness, a place of heartache. And you have a choice in that moment. You can either blame God and you can either say, how did you let this happen to me? Why am I going through this? I have been so faithful to you. Or you can turn to him and you can say, God, you are the only one that can speak to this brokenness. You are the only one that can bring comfort. You are the only one that can bring peace. And I found myself in this place, in this really dark, lonely, scary place. And I had done the latter and I had said, God, you're the only one. You're the only one that can speak to my heart. And it was a real fresh time. It had, you know, just really fresh in my heart. Lots of hurt, lots of confusion, lots of I don't know what to do next. And I decided to go to a little cafe in town and eat lunch by myself, which I was just talking to my brother-in-law, Gerald, about this last night. I'm like, I think it's the saddest thing ever to eat lunch alone. Like, how horrible. Or to go to a movie alone. Or, you know, that's my personality. And Gerald's like, that's so awesome. I love going places alone. But not me. So this is out of character for me to be here alone. But I was so in that place of constant connection with the Lord. Not just praying for 30 minutes and walking away and going about my day. Constant communication with him. That I was like, Jesus, I just want to go to lunch with you. Like, and I know that sounds kind of super spiritual, but I really did. I just wanted to be with him. I didn't want to hear all the other voices. I wanted to hear his voice. So went to lunch, ordered this beautiful salad on this awesome white plate with a wide rim, and it was October. It was a little chilly. I hate the cold, and but I wanted to be outside. I wanted to be away from all the noise and all the other people, and it was chilly, so no one was outside. So I put my salad down, prayed, kind of took my first bite. And as I did, this like amazing, beautiful, gorgeous butterfly, like in October, cool, chilly, comes and flies and lands on that white, wide rim of my plate. Not on the salad, not on any food, just on that rim. And I was like, oh my gosh, look at this, this is amazing. So I got my phone out, took a picture, and usually at that point, butterfly might be startled, you know, but I was like, really quiet, take it. And I'm like, I got it before it flew away. I put my phone down, and it's just there, and it's just sitting there. And I look at it, and I'm like, this is not normal. Like, the sun's shining, but it's cold, and I'm by myself, and like, what's going on? And in that moment, it wasn't audible, but there was no doubt in my mind that God spoke to me, and he spoke to my heart, and he said, Lisa, just like this butterfly, I transformed it from a caterpillar into what it is now. And if you let me, I will take your brokenness. I will take your pain. I will take all of the pieces that are scattered around, and I'll put it back together, and I'll make it into something amazing. And this beautiful thing won't only affect you. It won't only affect your husband, your children, your family, but it will affect people that you don't even know. And I sat there, and tears were just streaming down my face, and I knew it was the voice of God. If I had never heard him in my life, I heard him so loud that day, and I just said, thank you, Jesus. This is what I needed to hear. I needed to hear a voice from you, and I want to read Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And those of you who might be in a valley or a dark place or the desert right now, I want you to know that the first voice that you need to seek is his voice. All the other voices come second. His voice comes first. He's the only one that can speak to those deep places, and he will use a butterfly, he will use a child, he will use the sky, he will use whatever it takes to get your attention. So let's not go about our day and move on when we're in these situations, but instead be mindful that God is trying to speak to you. He is creative, and he will use whatever it takes to get your attention. So, yeah, that's it. I'm going to stop now.
Oh, that was totally worth it. So let me answer this question. Some might be asking, so why don't I hear from the Lord? If God is speaking and he's so creative and he's so amazing, why don't I hear from the Lord? Let me give you a couple things quickly. Number one, maybe there's sin in your life. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says this, says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Iniquities is a big word for sin. Your sin has separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Here's what sin does. Let's just make it simple. Is it separates you from God. I don't know if you ever tried to communicate with someone who is a distance from you, and you were speaking, you were calling out, but they couldn't hear you. Yesterday, I took the girls to main event. We were playing some games, and I was by myself. I was trying to watch all three girls, and Eden had moved off and was a little bit away from us, and she was distracted by the prize zone, and she was trying to, you know, look at all the stuff, and I had the other two girls with me, and I'm calling out, and I'm like, Eden, Eden, Eden. I'm just getting louder, Eden. And I realized in the moment that the distance between us was just too big. She just couldn't hear me. This was not a case of selective hearing. Like the voice, the waves, the sound waves were not making making it to her ears. So you know what I did? I closed the distance between us so that she could hear my voice. And I'm just telling you this morning that that's what sin does. It separates you, puts a distance between you and God. And the way that you close that gap is that you repent from your sins. And when you do, when you repent of your sins, it closes the gap and you will suddenly be able to hear the voice of God again. Here's a second one that happens often is disobedience. Is maybe it's not sin, but has God asked you to go somewhere or do something and you've disobeyed? You've just said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to obey that. That sounds too hard. That sounds too complicated. That sounds too expensive. I don't think I can do that, God. Right? Well, that disobedience, it's similar to sin. It separates you. It puts that distance there. And it's as if God's just like, look, I've already given you the marching orders, and I'm waiting for you to obey. And once you obey, I'll give you the next set of orders. Here's a third one is just the big category is distractions, but the one I'll talk to you about just for a moment is the distraction of just being busy. See, I just believe that we, especially North America, I believe we live in a culture that's just so busy, so loud, so much going on all the time that it's difficult for us to do what the scripture says when it says, be still and know that I am God. I think it's hard for us because there's so much vying for our attention, so much noise, so much activity. I'm not talking about bad things. I'm just saying there's a lot happening that's pulling at us. And I would ask, when's the last time that you just intentionally got quiet and put the distractions aside with the intention of hearing the voice of God? This week, I called Pastor Clyde, and I said, hey, I need to go for a run, and we need to meet about some things, and you probably need to go on a bike ride, so why don't we kill three birds with one stone? I'm going to leave my house. You meet me at the trail. I'll run. You ride. We'll talk about church stuff. We'll accomplish all this at the same time. Very unorthodox, but this is how we roll at Harvest, all right? So I took off. He met me. I'm running. She's riding. We're talking. We're having a great time. Geese are flying over, and cranes and ducks, and we're down on the bosque, and we're having so much fun, and it's just amazing. And as we came back along the trail that borders Paseo there, if you've ever been there, I mean, Paseo's loud. There's all these cars. There's all this noise going along. And as we went along, I saw a coyote out in the field there. I'm like, Clyde, there's a coyote. Look how cool. And I love wildlife. And we're just looking, and I'm still running. And I go, watch this, Clyde. And I start going, I'm like yipping and yelping at this coyote, and this is how we do it, all right? This is how we do it. And the coyote didn't even hear me. I mean, just didn't even hear me. So you know what I did? I got louder. Like, what do you do if it doesn't work the first time? So I'm like, I'm just going at it, and this coyote has no idea that I'm there. And here's why. It's because there was too much other noise around us for him to hear me calling to him, right? You see, I think just sometimes the distractions of just being busy, they keep us from hearing the voice of God. And here's the last one, and we'll kind of explore this one, is maybe you're just not listening. Maybe you're just not listening, right? Maybe you're like I was the other day when Lisa came in and was talking to me, and I knew there was noise, but I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't actually listening. So there's a story in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that kind of illustrates this, and we'll look at it because it's got a couple of things that'll help us with this question. How do I hear the voice of God? 1 Samuel chapter 3 says that the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. So it's this kind of a pastor-mentor relationship. Eli is the spiritual leader. Samuel is being trained under him. You'll actually see later in the passage that Samuel's not even yet a believer. He's just kind of an apprentice. He's the young boy that's like working in the church and, you know, like cleaning up after events and helping get communion ready. And he's just kind of doing all the stuff, right? And it says here that in these days, the word of the Lord was rare, but there were not many visions. And I'll just say this, that I don't think we're in that day any longer. Again, my premise today is I think God's speaking more than we're listening. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that God is speaking to us. Verse 2 says, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was laying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called to Samuel. Remember, the Lord is speaking. The Lord calls to Samuel, and Samuel answers. He says, here I am. And he gets up and he runs to his boss. He runs to Eli. He says, here I am. You called me. And Eli is a little bit confused. He was about to fall asleep, right? He's kind of like, what? He wakes up. He's like, what are you doing? He says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed, right? Go lay down, right? It kind of feels like a parent whose kids just will not go to bed. Anyone ever struggle with that? Just me? I mean, it's like, go to bed. I didn't call you, right? So Samuel goes back and it says, again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up. He goes to Eli. Here I am. You called me. Eli's like, my son, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And here's why. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So he's not a follower. Yeah, he's not and I just think this is interesting because this really shows me, and some of you had this experience in your life, you don't have to be a believer to hear the voice of God. Oftentimes, people's testimony, their story is, hey, I was running from God. I wasn't following him. I didn't even know the truth. And this happened, and God stopped it. God interrupted. God spoke. God did something. And this is kind of what's happening here, is that he doesn't know the Lord, but he's hearing. He's having trouble figuring out what he's hearing. Like, I know there's something going on, but what is it? I got to figure this out. I got to listen, right? And so it says a third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up, went to Eli. Here I am, you called me. And then, watch this, Eli realized that it was the Lord that was calling the boy, right? So Eli says, here's what you do. Go lay down, and if you hear it again, if he calls you, here's what you say. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went, and he lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there calling as the other time. Samuel, Samuel. And so Samuel says, speak, for your servant is listening. And verse 11 says this, and then the Lord spoke to Samuel. And we won't go into past that, what he says and all the rest of it. But here's the point. God spoke. God was speaking to the boy Samuel. So let me help you. Just three things real quickly. How do I hear the voice of God? Number one, you need to read God's word. You need to read God's word. Remember verse 7 says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. You know, oftentimes, I've never done this, but my snarkiness just sometimes wants to come out because someone will come up to me like, Pastor, I just want a word. I just want a word from the Lord. Pastor, will you pray for me? I just want to hear a word. And you know what I want to do sometimes in that moment? I just want to hand them a Bible. Go, here's a 100,000 words from God. You know, here's 66 books full of words from God to you, right? Here's the starting point, okay, is you just get into God's word, right? He's already written letters to you and I. He's already communicated his heart. He's already given us his mission. He's already taught you how to handle your money, how to handle your parenting, how to love your spouse. He's already taught you how to handle conflict. He's already taught you how to interact with your boss and with your employees. He's already given you his word. Stop going and looking for it when you've got 15 copies on your bookshelf and an e-version on your phone that you're carrying around with you every day. This is the first way that you hear the voice of God, is that you get into his word. Here's the other thing is you can hear God's word. I mean, you can hear God's voice through his word. But here's the other part. He will also confirm what he's telling you through his word. In other words, like the story Lisa shared with you about the butterfly, we could go through scripture after scripture that would confirm the plans that God had for our lives, that he spoke to her through the butterfly. Like, I'll give you the other angle. Is not long ago, I had a guy come to me. He's like, "Pastor, I need some advice. I need to meet with you." So we met. This guy was on his third wife at this point. And he says to me, he says, "Pastor, I feel like I'm hearing the voice of God." I'm like, "Okay, well, what's the voice of God saying to you?" You know? And he says, "Well, Pastor, I think he's telling me to leave my wife to marry this other woman." And I'm like, "You really, like, hold on. You think that's the voice of God? Like, help me figure out. Like, show me in his word. Like that's schizophrenic, right? God's not going to tell you in his word to be faithful to your spouse and then wake you up in the middle of the night and say, "Nah, I didn't mean that. Go ahead and do whatever the heck you want," right? Like, what kind of a God do we serve? Like, we are fickle as human beings, but God is not. So it was pretty easy for me to say, "Yeah, that's not the voice of God." Like, I can guarantee you that's not the voice of God. So maybe if you're wrestling with, well, is this God, or what am I, go to his word. His word will tell you what to do. It will also confirm if you're on the right track or, in that case, not. Here's the second thing. How do I hear the voice of God? Develop a personal relationship with him. You see, again, what we want is this formula. We want this thing like stand this way and do this thing and wave your arms and pray this way and say these words and then God will speak to you. And here's the reality. It's not a formula. Just develop a relationship with God. There's a passage I love. I go to this very often in John chapter 10. It says this, it says, I'll just read the end. The end of it says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Probably at least two or three times a month, I get phone calls from friends saying, "Pastor, you pray for me. I'm trying to sense the word of God for my life, for my business, for my family. I'm trying to figure out what it is." And this is my go-to fat passage. I've said this to you. I say, listen, here's what's amazing, is the scriptures, they promise us that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And so as you're praying and you're trying to discern what God wants you to do, you'll know, because just follow the familiar voice. Follow the voice of the shepherd. Just tune in to that voice that you already know. Well, how do you know that voice? You got to be in personal relationship. Right? Like if it's been 6 months since you had a quiet time, since you dug into the word and you prayed and you listened for the voice of God, when that voice comes, you may not recognize it as the voice of the shepherd. Like I'll say it this way, Lisa, sometimes this will happen, like her phone will die. And so she'll call me from someone else's phone. And so the number doesn't tell me that it's Lisa. The number tells me it's someone else. And I'll answer, say, "Hello? Like, why are you calling me, right? Hello?" And I'll hear, "Hey, babe." And I know immediately that it's my wife. Why? Because we're in relationship with each other. Because we talk every single day. Because I know her voice. I know her tone, right? I it's familiar. It's not about the number. It's about the voice. And see, if you're in personal relationship, I'm just talking like daily, weekly, monthly. Like you're meeting with the Lord. And guys, don't overcomplicate this. Don't overcomplicate it. Like, I have severe ADHD, okay? So I would be lying to you if I said, you know, church, here's what you do. Here's what I do. Every day, every single day, I take 2 hours and I just sit before the Lord. I mean, I cross-legged in my living room and I light candles and I put ambient music on and I just sit and I just listen. I mean, I just sit there. Guys, I don't sit still for 2 stinking minutes in a day, all right? Don't complicate it. Like, when I'm praying all day, I'm running, as I'm walking, as I'm working, as I'm thinking, as I'm meeting. Like, I had a day this week where I had like 3 or 4 really just difficult meetings all in a row. And I came home, I'm like, babe, I am exhausted. And part of the reason was all during those meetings, I was praying, I'm listening for the voice of God. God, what do we do here? This is not easy. Speak to me, help me, show me a plan, right? Help me with this. Don't overcomplicate it. Like, if you have the personality that you can sit for 2 hours and listen to God, then please do it, okay? But if you don't, it's not about a formula. You don't have to do it any particular way. What you do need to do is just be in personal relationship, just listening for the voice of God. Do any of you remember like the old black and white Batman television show? Any of you remember that? I was just reminded of this week because this is how I think we sometimes view our relationship with God. I watched like an old rerun of it, right? And Commissioner Gordon's in his office and someone rushes in and is like, oh my goodness, there's a problem. You know, the Joker's on the loose and he's gonna, you know, destroy our town. And then all of a sudden the camera's like, boom, it goes over and it goes to a table, and on this table is sitting what? A red phone, right? A bat phone, right? And so he runs over to the bat phone, right? And he picks up the phone and he calls Batman, right? Batman, we have a problem. There's something going on in our town. You need to come to our rescue, right? Do you have any idea how hard it is to find a phone today? That's a little side note. Like, I didn't realize, like, no one sells phones anymore. I mean, I was like, I had to go on a hunt. So I found this phone at Savers. I bought a bag of them. There were like 4 of them. And I cut all the wires out because I'm never going to use this. And I spray painted it red. Okay? That's what I did. This is what I do during my week. Think about it, though. Think about how often do we do this. We haven't had a quiet time in 7 months. And something happens. The doctor calls, right? The ex calls. This happens. That happens. Car breaks down. Something happens. What do? The bat phone. God, it's me. I'm in Albuquerque. And there's a crisis happening. You need to come and you need to bail me out, right? I know it's ridiculous. But you have totally done it. And you know it. That's why you're laughing, right? And I told Harvest Rio this morning, I said, you better be glad that I'm not God. Because you know what I would do? I'd answer the phone like, hello? And you're like, God, I have a problem. You need to come to my rescue. And you know what I'd say? Who is this? I don't know. What? Who? Jeremy, who? I don't know a Jeremy. No, And you're like, we had lunch 7 months ago. I don't remember that. Like, I would just be a jerk, right? Anyone thankful I'm not God? Man, wow. Just, you overreacted to that for the record, all right? Let the record show that you overreacted to that. So how do I hear the voice of God? It's not a formula. You're going to start in God's word, and then you're just going to develop a relationship with him. That's why on the start of this year, I said, hey, join me in a fast. Right? I said, hey, join me on the last Tuesday of the month. Let's pray corporately, right? There's some corporate ways that I'm asking you to join me in getting to know the Lord. But you know what it comes down to? It comes down to what you do tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Like, I'm glad you're here. This is a piece to that puzzle. But it's about a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. Here's the last thing, and I'll have the worship team join me as we close this morning. The last part of how do I hear the voice of God is just listen always. Some of the stories that we've shared this morning, I asked Lisa to share. Some of these are meant to just show you that God, can I help you? God doesn't just speak on Sundays. Am I right? He doesn't just speak when you're inside of a church building. He doesn't just speak, you know, on the last Tuesday of the month when we have corporate prayer. God is speaking all the time. And so that means that we have to be listening all the time. I'll share one final story with you. Almost 4 years ago now, Lisa and I were living in Texas, and we just had begun to sense that God was going to do something new in our lives. And so we were praying, we were seeking, you know, God. We had mentors around us that were, you know, counseling us and praying. And we were in that zone. And in that zone, I'll never forget it, because Lisa and I, as you get to know us, we are very, very different. I mean, almost every way, we're polar opposites. But we had one thing that we agreed on in our marriage, and it was this. It was, we will never live in New Mexico. That was like we would come. She's from Louisiana, and I'm from here. And we'd come, and she'd be like, what's up with the flat roofs? I'm like, I don't know. They're crazy. She's like, why does everyone have... She said, why does everyone have tamales hanging around? I'm like, tamales? Like, those pepper things. I'm like, chilies? Yeah. Like, I don't know. You know, I don't like green chili. I'm sorry. I don't. I'm like, I don't know, babe. You know, and she's like, where's the green? And where's the water? And we were like, man, we are never going to live in New Mexico. They are crazy out there, right? So almost 4 years ago, God spoke to me, because we were in relationship, right? And I'm saying, all right, God, what do you want for my family? All right, we're ready. I said, we'll go anywhere except New Mexico. And one day God spoke to me. He said, I want you to go to Albuquerque to Harvest. I want you to pastor the church. And I walked into, it wasn't audible. I already told you, it was so clear. I stopped what I was doing. I walked into where Lisa was at. I said, you ready to hear something crazy? And I was a serial entrepreneur at the time. I was just starting businesses. I just loved starting businesses. And so when I said, you want to hear something crazy? She goes, what do you want to do next? What do you want to start next? I said, no, different. We're closing it all down. God called us to Albuquerque to pastor Harvest. And she goes, what? I'm like, I know. I agree. I think God's crazy. I'm hoping maybe he'll let us out of this. Maybe it's like a Abraham Isaac thing. We're just like, will we respond? And then he'll be like, totally joking. You can stay in Texas. You know, because you know why? I love Texas. It felt like the promised land. I know. You don't like it. I love it. And I'm like, God, why are you sending me from the promised land to the desert? You should go from the desert to the promised land. You've already delivered me out of the desert, right? I spent 18 years in the desert wandering, Cibola High School, Albuquerque, West Side, and you delivered me into the, and he's like, no, I want you to go. So we were like, all right, God, just help us, just confirm this, speak to us, you know, let our mentors help us through this. And so Lisa went to a Bible study in this season. And it was her and Eden at the time was 3 years old. Eden couldn't read at three. She's pretty smart, but not that smart. And they went to this Bible study, and they get in the car, and Eden gets this book right here. This is the actual one. We found it this week. She got this book. She's in the back seat, and she's just kind of pestering Lisa, like, Mommy, read this. And she had it open to a particular page. So it wasn't like, read this book. She's like, read this page, Mommy, read this page. And Lisa was like, you know, can we wait till we get home? And, you know, just kind of, you know, putting it off. And just Eden was just adamant, this page, Mommy, read this page. And so Lisa, she stops and she gets the book. And it says, Abraham trusts God. God said they will trust in the Lord, Zephaniah 3:12. And here's the story. It says, Abraham and Sarah lived in a comfy, cozy house. One day, God told Abraham to move to a new land. God would lead the way. Abraham didn't want to move. Jason didn't want to move. But Abraham trusted God. What do you think Abraham did? Abraham packed. Abraham packed this, Sarah packed that. They took all their clothes and their little white cat. I don't know if that part's in the Bible. Then march, 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 Abraham and Sarah followed God. And they trusted God too. And what a parade it was. And I don't know, when Lisa called me, I don't know exactly what she was doing. But like, I can barely read that story today without tears coming to my eyes. Because what happened in that moment, because we had just said, we're going to just like put the antennas up. We're just listening to we're wherever you're at, God, whatever you're, however you're going to do this, we're just listening. And in that moment, God spoke to us through a goodnight Bible story from our three-year-old, right? Three-year-old. And you know what? You can say whatever you want, okay? You're not going to talk me out of God was speaking to us. You can tell me whatever you want. You can, oh, that's just a coincidence or, you know, what? I don't care. I don't care what you say, all right? God was speaking to us in that moment. And I think that a lot of us miss those moments. Now, that one was really clear. I mean, that one was like, move to the desert. You know, like it was as clear as it could be. But I just wonder, like, what happened last week in your life where God was trying to get your attention and you missed it? Because you just weren't listening, right? Because you're busy, whatever, right? Because you just totally missed it. And I'm excited. I've been really excited about this message because, man, what could happen, Harvest? What could happen if we, not just on Sundays, because I said, hey, guys, position your heart to hear from God. But what if every day, you woke up and you positioned your heart? Said, all right, God, if you want to speak to me today, through my dog, through my kid, through whatever, through your word, however you, I'm going to listen. Like, think about how amazing things would be in your life, in your family, in our city, in our church, if we just all had our antennas up all the time and we're just listening for the voice of God. Amen? So do this for me. Just stand to your feet where you're at. You can close your Bibles, put your notes away, turn your phone off, whatever you need to do there. And I just want to do something just real quick. I don't want to belabor this at all, but I know what it's like to need to hear the voice of God and just to feel like he's been silent. And as I prayed over this moment, this particular moment of today's service, I've been praying for you. I've been praying that just in the next couple of moments that you would hear the voice of God. And when I say that, I'm not anticipating an audible voice. I'm not anticipating a finger coming down and writing on the wall. You know, I'm not anticipating that. I'm anticipating that just in your heart, in your spirit, that deep would cry to deep. That's what the scriptures say. That the deepest part of your spirit would cry out to the deep parts of God. And that you would hear the voice of God. And then what excites me is hopefully I've helped to equip you to how to hear the voice of God. And that tomorrow morning you could get up and you can position your heart again. And Tuesday, you can position your heart. Wednesday, and throughout this week, we would just, and here's part of the collective press, right? Let us, oh, that I might know the Lord. That's our theme this year. Let us press to know him more. Here's the promise. He will respond as surely as the arrival of the dawn. Okay? In other words, he is not like your lazy husband who doesn't pay attention to you when you're trying to talk to him, right? I'm talking about myself. Don't feel bad. He's going to respond. So here's what I want to do. I just had our worship team join us. There's no magic in this. I just want us to spend a few minutes. In fact, here's what I want to do. I'm going to have the worship team sing. I don't want you singing, though. Sometimes I think in our worship, we miss the voice of God because we're talking, right? Like, it's hard to hear God when you're singing to him. So I want you just to enjoy the atmosphere for just a few moments as our worship team just worships over us. I just want you to listen for the voice of God. And some of you, you've been asking questions of God. You know, what do I do with this? How do I do this? God, what's the next step for me? What's the plan? And I just believe that in this moment, that there are going to be a lot of you that just, you're going to begin just to hear the voice of God for your family, for your life, for your business, for your decision. And then I'll pray a closing prayer. And then we'll go be the church. How's that sound? Will you position your heart right now as the worship team worships? Just listen for the voice of God.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.